Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. As we mentioned toward the end of our previous shiur, we are picking up with the discussion that we find ourselves in the middle of. You will notice that today's shiur begins from the last two words of Daf Beis Omid Beis, the expression Elo Me'ata that you will see in a diamond. This is part of our series, a series marking that we already introduced in our previous shiur. So very briefly, without getting into an elaborate introduction, because we're working on the assumption that you are familiar with our previous shiur, especially the last part of it, we had seen that the Rabbonon learned the dimensions of the entrance to a Mavui from the Heichal. The questions that we are in the middle of feature the theme of, is that really so? That the Rabbonon learn from the Pesach Heichal. So, with that introduction in mind, we start a question that is listed or marked off in Gemara markings as a long question, beginning here with the words Elo Me'ata. Elo Me'ata means, if it is so that we learn the din of the Pesach of a Mavui from the Heichal, we continue at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Lo Teheni Le Amaltara, then Amaltara should not be effective in allowing for a greater height than 20 Amos in the case of a Mavui. And yet we know from sources that Amaltara does help. Now, we haven't explained what an Amaltara is. In fact, the Gemara itself will ask what is an Amaltara, but it will only ask that later on. So for our purposes, all we have to note is there is something called an Amaltara. And that phenomenon of Amaltara enables a Mavui to be kosher, even if the entrance is more than 20 amos. As we learned in our previous when we speak about a Mavui being kosher, that means the permission granted for carrying in the Mavui will be granted if you have a crossbeam or a lechi at its entrance. Generally speaking, the Mavui should be not greater than 20 amos in terms of the height of its entranceway, but if you have an Amaltara, it is effective. But if we learn from Heichal, then Amaltara should not be effective. Before we continue further in our discussion, let us first take a look at the Nosei, the topic heading. We have written the following on the side under the Nosei: Amaltara Kishut. It's a decoration, Me'al Pesach, above the entranceway. HaGemara Makshe. The Gemara will be asking here, the Imloimdim Mipesach Echal, if it is so, as we've claimed till now, that we learn the dimensions, in this case the 20 Amah height dimension from the Heichal, Loma Mahani Amaltara Lahatir Pesach of Oameesrim. How is it that the Amaltara decoration above the entranceway is effective in enabling a Mavui height to be more than 20 Amos? Share LaHechal Hoyo Amaltara. The Heichal itself had an Amaltara. Ubechol Zois Pischoi Hoyo Rak Esrim. And even with the Amaltara, the entranceway to the Mavui was only 20. So, with Amaltara, if you're learning from Heichal, the maximum height should be 20, and yet we know by the Mavui that we allow even more. Another point before we get into the Gemara itself, note the structure. The Mivneh, on the side of our Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading, and we've indicated the use of a trapezoid or volcano shape, as we fondly refer to it. We call this a ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. We usually use this marking when it's an intensive discussion and sometimes hard to keep track. So with the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards, that those represent kushios, and when inverted, they represent tshuvos, responses. So if you just scan ahead in the Gemara, the first quarter of the page of Gemara, you'll notice these markings appearing every few lines. Now that we've laid out the groundwork, let us now go into the text. If it is so, then that we learn from the Hechal, lo, the top line, lo teheni le amaltara. The amaltara decoration should not be effective to allow a mavui to have a height of more than 20 amas at its entranceway. To Hechal, amaltara haviole, the Hechal had an amaltara above its entranceway, the afilu hachi esrim amahu de gavoa, and even so, its height was only 20 amos. The Heichal entranceway's height was 20 amos, as we've seen. This nan, here we have a Tanaic source from Maseches Midos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, Chomesh Altim Amaltarois Shel Milo Hoyu Al Gabov. There were five amaltaros of Milo. Milo is a type of wood that was above the entranceway of the Heichal. Bear in mind that Mishnayos, Maseches Midos, deals with the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. And these amaltaros were zu lamalo mizu, vizu lamalo mizu. They were positioned one above the other. We have a bracketed section that we recommend skipping initially. The note on the side where you notice the star, we've written Sograyim L'shem Diluk. These brackets indicate to skip. L'shmor al retzif hakushya, in order to keep track of the continuity of the question. Pesochom, within the bracketed section, yesh nisoyon l'tchos hakushya aval eino matzliach. There's an attempt to reject the question that we are asking, but that attempt will fail. So the question will continue. And that's why you see that we have a long question marking showing you how far the question goes. The length of the bracketed section is illustrated by the bracket length indicator. You can see to the side of the Gemara text the vertical dash dotted line. So we have established that in the Heichal, at the entrance of the Heichal, which had a height of 20 amas, above it there were amaltaros. So it was the amaltaro decoration. And we know that the height of the Heichal was 20. And yet, when it comes to a mavui, let's skip the brackets. Aloma omar rev, aloma rav. Why has it been said, in the name of Rav, Rechova dalid, a korah that has a width of 4 tvachim, afal pi she'eino bria, even if it's a weak type of board, v'im yesh, it's still considered an effective, it's considered an effective korah, even if it can't hold a brick on it, it doesn't have strength, v'im yesh lo amaltara, if the mavui has an amaltara, afilu gavoya yoyser me'esrim amo, eino tzorech lemayit. Even if it has a height of more than 20 amos, you do not have to reduce its height. So what we have here is we have this last statement of Rav indicating that a mavui with an amaltara does not need to be reduced. And yet we have Rav earlier. This is, of course, a reference to that which we learned during our previous shiur. Rav says that we learn the dinim, that the Rabbanan learned the din of mavui dimensions from the Heichal. And if you learn from the Heichal, then you should be limited to 20 amos even with an amaltara. And here you have Rav saying that a mavui with an amaltara does not have to be limited to 20 amos. So that creates a stira within Rav. We call this Kashya de Rav Adarav. Technical points. First of all, there's a dashed frame around the last couple of lines. That is because later in the Gemara there's an attempt to say that these lines are a Tanaic source. So we're treating it right now as a quasi source, meaning right for the initial reading of the Gemara, pretend the frame is not there. It's Rav's statement. Later, the Gemara will suggest something else. We have a bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go back over that. We're reading the Gemara four lines from the top. We started a question based on the Amaltara issue. The Amaltara, it was suggested, should not be effective in allowing a greater than 20 Amma height if you are in fact learning from the Heichal. The Gemara continues in the brackets now. V'hai mai tufta, what's the question? Dilmo kitanyo ahi da'amaltarois. Maybe the source in Maseches Midos that discusses or describes the amaltarois, the presence of those decorations, b'ulam tanya. That's a reference to the ulam, the antechamber, but not the heichal. And the Rabbanon learned their dinim from the heichal. So as far as we are concerned, maybe the heichal in fact did not have an amaltara. The Gemara says, that's not an objection to the question. Bahai my kushya, this is not a rejection of the question. Dilmo tavnis heichal ketavnis ulam. Even if you say that this source dealing with the amaltaros was by the ulam, we would on our own say that the shape and the form of the heichal patterns the form of the ulam. So if you establish that the ulam had amaltara, we would assume that the heichal entranceway also had an amaltara. And we see that the heichal entranceway was limited to 20 amos. And yet when it comes to a movui with an amaltara, Rav says it can be even more than 20 amos. And if it were so, like Rav originally said, that the Movui is learned from the Heichal, then even with an Amaltara, there should be a limitation. So we seem to have a contradiction within Rav. Answer. That's what we have now, the inverted volcano. Omar Rav Yosef, Amaltara Masnisahi. The reference to the Amaltara that we just had, where we squiggle under on the Amaltara, in the, we'll call the dashed frame section, is really a Tanaic source, and it's not Rav, and therefore there's no contradiction within Rav. In other words, Rav says the Rabbonin learn Movui entrance height from Heichal. This Tanaic source, the comment of Amaltara Einot Tzorach Lemayit, is not it's not from the mouth of Rav. The Gemara asks, oh, it's a Tanaic source. Man katani lo, who's the author of it? How can you say it's a Tanaic source? There's no author. Omar Abaye responds, V'ho chamo brei derabo bar avua katani lo. It was taught by chamo. So there is someone that stands behind the source. The Gemara asks, so what that you try to deflect the problem on Rav by saying that Amaltara was a Tanaic source. So the Tehevi Amaltara Masnisa. So let the Amaltara be a Tanaic source. The Tikshi L'Rav. And as such, you will have a Kasha on Rav. According to Rav, the din of the Pesach is learned from the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash that had an Amaltara and still it was limited to 20. And this source is saying that with an Amaltara, you can have an Amavui entrance of more than 20. Omar Loch Rav. Rav responds, Dal Ano Mehocha. Take me out of the picture. Masnaisa mi lo kashyon ahadodi. The Tanaic sources, are they not themselves contradictory? Let us take a look at the. We have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the moral text with an indication to go back to Beis Amid Beis. So skim down Beis Amid Beis, right hand side of the moral text, try to find a parallel arrow that indicates Gimel Amid Aleph. You see it in the lower half of the page. And there it says, and we dashed underline Heichal. So you have a Tanaic source that learns Movui entrance from Heichal. This Amantara source that we just had with the dashed frame would seem to say that we don't learn Movui from Heichal. Now, you can't have contradictory Tanaic sources, can you? Elamai Yisloch LeMeimar. So Rav explains, so when, what are you going to have to say? Tanoihi, you'll have to say that the issue is a machlokes tanoim. The earlier Tano held that the Rabbonin learn from Heichal, and a Maltara would not help to have to allow for a Movui with, of more than 20. And this Amaltara source says that Heichal is not the source for the Movui. Well, the Didinami Tanoihi, according to me, as well, that I said the Rabbonin learn they learn Movui from Heichal, I will attach myself to one of the Tanoim that are in fact arguing with one another. And I will go like the Tana before, on Beis Amid Beis, that learns from the Heichal. And a Maltara will not help. That is approach number one. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, another approach to this discussion. He says, Beloi Rav, if Rav were not part of this discussion, Rav is the one that said that the Rabbonin learn Movui from Heichal. Just pretend that Rav was not in this, he didn't appear at all. Masnaisa adodi lo kashion. The Tanaic sources are not contradictory at all. According to both of the Tanaic sources, the one on Beis Amid Beis that the arrow was pointing to, and the Amaltara source, they're not arguing with one another. Le Rabbonon. And we continue to explain how the sources are not arguing whatsoever. Le Rabbonon koiro taimo mai. According to the Rabbonon, what is the reason for a koiro above the entrance of a mavui? Lav mishum hekeira. Is it not so as to provide recognition? It is to provide recognition that this is now a Rishus HaYochid, and not to confuse it with a public thoroughfare, as we explained in our previous year. The High Dikotoni. Now, we have to add the main point. It's not in the words of the Gemara, but Rashi fills it in. Mishum Heker. He says, Delechsi Inish Veleidu the Tekanta Ovud. People should notice that you made the required innovation for the Mavui. V'lo leisi chufi b'shus rabim. They shouldn't come to confuse it with a public thoroughfare. Mishum hochi mahanya amaltara. And because of the heker, the recognition issue, amaltara is effective to allow a height of more than 20 amos for a Mavui entranceway. The cave under Mistakli bo inchi, since an amaltara is something people gaze upon, afilu malo me'asrim amo, ikai kera, even if the Mavui that has an amaltara is more than 20 amos, people's eyes are drawn to the amaltara, and you will have accomplished what a kora is supposed to accomplish. The kora above a movui with an amaltara will also be recognizable, even more than 20 amos. The high dikotoni, and that which it said in the source on the brisa on Beis Amid Beis, yeser mi pischos shel heichal, a movui of a height of more than 20 amos, more than the Pesach of the Heichal, Simona be'alma, the reference to the Heichal wasn't because we learned from the Heichal. It's not because the Heichal is the source of our information. It was simply used as a type of memory device to remember the shiur of 20 amos. So, with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok in mind, what was claimed before, that what Rav tried to say is that, well, aren't the Tanaic sources contradictory? The answer is no, the Tanaic sources are not contradictory. the source before indicates that a mavui height should not exceed 20 amos. And a way to remember the 20 amos, just remember that the Heichal had a height of 20 amos, but not that we learn Movui from the Heichal. And the source that's in the dashed frame above mentions that if your Movui happens to have an Amal Torah, we will allow a Movui entranceway of more than 20 amos, because that will also fulfill the need for Hekera. At this point, the Gemara starts a question. This is a long question, and on the side we have a topic heading: Birur Shitas Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok B'Tam Psul Schach L'Malo Mi'Esrim Amo. The Gemara is going to get a little bit off the topic and analyze Rav Nachman Yitzchok, whose name we underlined just a couple lines above. What is his opinion with regard to the problem of schach of a sukkah that's more than 20 amos above the floor? For those of you who are familiar with the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, so you will recall that the maximum height of a sukkah, according to the Rabbanan, is 20 amos. There happens to be a machlokes tanoim in Maseches Sukkah where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and allows for more than 20 amos. We want to look into Rav Nachman Yitzchok. And truth be told, at the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, there are three reasons given for why schach more than 20 amos renders the sukkah unfit. The Gemara continues. Again, we say there's a long question here. For Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, ha nicha I lo svira le ha derabba. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok will be fine if we establish that he doesn't hold by Rabba's reason of the schach above 20 being posel according to the Rabbanan. Well, what's Rabba's reason? Rabba's reason in Maseches Sukkah is because if it's more than 20 amos, so there's no hecker, you won't see it. Elo isvira le, if Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok holds ha de Rabba, again, let's read that again, elo isvira le ha de Rabba, if Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok holds that the psul of a sukkah more than 20 amos is because it lacks heker, skip the bracketed section, use the bracket length indicator to the side, you can see the dash dotted line. The question ends up by saying, if lugi batarti lomali, what do I need to have two mishnayos that feature machlokis Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan, the case of sukkah, and the case of kura of mavui, that basically are the same issue? Let's go over this point again. If you were to fuse Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok and Rabba, what comes out? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok mentioned that the point of the Mavui, of the Korah above the Mavui, and its being within 20 was because that way you'll have Heker, you'll have recognition. That's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. What does Rabba say in Maseches Sukkah about the Shitas Chachomim, that a sukkah above 20 is no good because you're lacking Heker? What would Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok say about the sukkah more than 20? If he is going to say the same as Rabba, that the sukkah issue is also a problem of Heker, then we have two Mishnayos. You have the beginning of Erevin and the beginning of Sukkah that speak about items or entities, the schach of a sukkah and the korah of a mavui, above 20 amos, as being unfit, respectively. If they're being unfit, respectively, is for the very same reason, meaning lack of heker, what do I have to have two Mishnayos in the Shas that say essentially the same thing? And if we put it in broader terms, it would mean things above 20 amos are not recognizable. The Gemara answers. The Gemara answers by basically saying or responding and saying that Rav Nachman Yitzchok could very well hold like Rabbah. And if you'll ask then why the repeat of the Mishnayos, so the Gemara will give us an answer which begins on the next line, Tzricha, and it's a long answer as we've marked off. However, we have a bracketed section that we skipped. What we tried to do just now is to give you the question in its concentrated form without all the background. What we do at this point is to go back to the beginning of the question. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, who stated that the Korah needs to be within 20 to achieve Heker, that explanation will be sensible and we can accept it, assuming that Rav Nachman Yitzchok does not hold by Rabbah's explanation in Sukkah being possible above 20. Eloi Sviro Le Hada Rabbah, if Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is going to hold like Rabbah with regard to the Sukkah up till 20 and only up till 20, do you have Heker? The Omar Rabbah, now in the brackets, the Omar Rabbah, Ksiv Leman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukah Soshavti. Rabbah, in referring to this Pasuk that speaks about the mitzvah of Sukkah, it says that the Sukkah is to remind us for all generations that we were kept in Sukkos, protected by Sukkos in the Exodus from Mitzrayim. And Rabbah says, Ad Esrim Amo Odom Yodea Shedor B'Sukkah, up till 20 Amos, a person recognizes the Schach and thereby understands that he is in a Sukkah. L'malam Esrim Amo, when the Schach is above 20 Amos, Ein Odom Yodea, Mishum Delo Sholta Be'Eino. A person doesn't realize he's in a sukkah. He sees four walls around him, but doesn't realize that he's in a schach covered containment. Because the shalta be'ena's eye doesn't see almo gabi sukkanami behekera pligi. So you see that regarding sukkah, that's the rabbonon who say that under 20 is necessary, and Rabbi Yehuda who says you can have it even more than 20. They argue there regarding the issue of Heker. You notice with our markings, what we try to do is we circle the word Hekero so you can let your eye catch previous circled Hekero. There, Hekero was circled in the context of the Korah. And here we have Hekero in the context of Sukkah. So now, if Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, who spoke about Hekero by the Mavui, will hold like Rabbah, who mentions the issue of Hekera in the context of Sukkah, Iflugi Betarti Lomali. What do I have to, why did the Shas have to present the Machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim both twice, in other words, it's repeat, by Sukkah and by Mavui? The Gemara responds, and you have to spell out a little bit, it's not in the words, and you can say that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok will hold like Rabbah, and that by Sukkah, the Hesber, the explanation for the Schach needing to be within 20 is for Heker. And even so, I need to be taught this Machlokes Tanoim, the Rabbonan and Rabbi Yehuda, twice, both by Mavui and by Sukkah. And that is what the Gemara now explains, why I need it to be taught twice. In other words, why if I would have taught you one, I would not have been able to figure out the other. The E Ashmin and Gabi Sukkah, had I told you the Machlokes Tanoim by Sukkah, but Okoma Rabbi Yehuda, there Rabbi Yehuda, who allows more than 20, would say, okay, it's kosher above 20. This Schach higher than 20 is okay. Kevan Dili Shiva Vida, since the Sukkah is designed for sitting in it. So as people sit, Shulta Be'ena, their eye will notice. They're not moving around, so they're seated. They'll see the Schach even if it's above 20.
Aval mavui de liuch ovid, the mavui, the entranceway to a mavui, which is not a place that people generally sit, they walk by it. Emo mode lehu lerabbanon. So, without having taught the machlokis by mavui, I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda would concede to the rabbanon that you're entitled to have a mavui entrance only up till 20 and have the korah effective. Therefore, teaching me sukkah would not have revealed Rabbi Yehuda's leniency in the case of the mavui. V'yashmin b'ha, and had I taught the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, by the case of the mavui, that up till 20 it's kosher and not more, b'alkam rabbanon. In this case of the mavui and the korah, do they say that above 20 it's pasul? Avo b'hach. In the case of sukkah, ema modu lei l'Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the rabbanon would concede to Rabbi Yehuda, like we just explained, that since it's the sukkah is designed for sitting, for living, for dwelling in it, you will notice the schach even above 20, and the chachamim would machshir sukkah height more than 20. Tzricha, therefore I have to teach, in addition to Movu, I have to teach Sukkah to tell me that the Rabbanan will not concede to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Sukkah either. My Amaltara. Well, we've got to this point in the Gemara, and we've used the term Amaltara earlier quite a bit, but we never explained what it is. And if it's not clear that we mentioned Amaltara early, so take advantage of the little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with an arrow back at the top line. So, here the Gemara is asking on a practical level, what is Amaltara? Two opinions. Rav Chama Brei Dorabo Baravua Omar Kini. In our Pirush Chai, the Book of Illustrations that we have been using along the way, there is an illustration of what kini might be, but I'm not sure that this illustration does justice. It's back on page number 1 at the lower part of the page. There's a little bays with we'll call it 3 circular designs, one next to each other. Kini literally are nests. It's an image of a bird's nest that's carved out above the entranceway. So one opinion is kini. We continue in the Gemara. Ki osa Ravdini Omar. When Ravdini came, he said, Amri b'amar Rava. They tell in Eretz Yisrael, paski d'arza. Those are, eretz is a type of wood. Paski are beams. Beams in... and this is illustrated too, also on page 1 of the Pirush Chai. Here you have above the entranceway of the Heichal, you can see of the Heichal Ulam entranceway, the Aleph in the diagram would be the Paske d'Arza illustration. So you have beams above the entranceway of different sizes in successive increasing size beams. The Gemara continues now. Man domar paski d'arza, the opinion that said paski d'arza, namely the second number 2 opinion here, that says that the amaltara is paski d'arza and therefore attracts your attention and will help to machshir a mavu even if the entranceway is more than 20 amos, kol shekein kini. Then certainly, if there is a kini decoration around the entrance of the Mavui. Mando Markini, the one who says Kini, the Rav Chama Brei Dorabo, the number 1 opinion, he will say, Avo Paski D'Arza Lo. Kini is more prominent. That's what attracts your attention. But Paski D'Arza will not be sufficiently prominent to attract your attention above 20 amos. The Gemara continues, Umandomar Paski D'Arza Maitaimo. The opinion that said Paski, the number 2 opinion, what is the reason for its effectiveness? E Mishum D'Nofish Mashche, if it's because they, Nofish means a lot, Mashche means size or length. If it's because they are particularly long boards, for Sukkah D'Nofish Mashche, the interior of the Sukkah that is also wide, the Kwami Rabbanan de Lo. If you have a sukkah that's wide, so the schach above also will be wide, extensive length to it. And yet the Rabbanan say that a sukkah above 20 is not effective, is not kosher. So what is the effectiveness of the Paski Da'arza to begin with? So it can't be in the fact that it has length to it. Elo kevon de kachoshiv is le kola. Since these beams have importance, people, they're considered of significance. So it creates a noise, so to speak, amongst the people. And people know that above this entranceway have this important decoration, these important beams. So that is what will create the awareness. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei. Miksas kura b'movui u'miksas schach b'sukkah. We'll deal with a movui entranceway that has the cross beam over it, and a sukkah that has schach over it. Miksas toich esrim u'miksas l'malo mi esrim. The beam in this particular section of Gemara, and the schach as well, is partially within 20 amos and partially above 20 amos. And if an illustration will help, so then take a look at page 2 at the bottom of the Pirush Chai, illustration number 11. If you look carefully, you'll see the beam there is partially within 20 amos and partially above. And if you look at illustration number 12 at the top of page 3, the same thing with regard to the schach of that sukkah. So we're going to be looking at these, we're keeping these diagrams in mind. That's the case. Is basically the what it boils down to, are these acceptable situations or not? Then under our Mivne note, we have a house shape featured. Shnei Lishonos Hafuchos. We're going to see two opposite versions of Rava in our Gemara. U'b'chol echad, in each one of these versions, we'll see triangles. Those triangles will hezberim ladin. They will be explanations of the din, the law that we will be focusing on. So just scan over the Gemara beforehand. You notice the first house form here, a number of lines later, there's a squiggle underline expression, ibcha, in the middle of the line. In Gemara markings, we often highlight transition expressions with a squiggle underline. In this case, ipcha means an opposite version with the inverted house. In both cases, version 1 and version 2, we make a split between mavui and sukkah. In version 1, you can see we underlined mavui, that the partial beam situation is acceptable, whereas the partial schach case is puzzle. In the second lashon, in the ibcha lashon, there the opposite appears, and you can see immediately with the markings. In the case of movui, the partial korah situation is unacceptable, and in the case of the schach of the sukkah, it will be acceptable. Now the question eventually will be, well, why? And when we get to the triangles under each lashon, the explanation will follow. So now the Gemara. We're starting the Gemara, continuing, of course, fourth wide line at the two dots. Miksas kura besoch esrim, umiksas kura lamala meyesrim. Part of the crossbeam over the movui is within 20 amos, and part of it is the beam. This kura has thickness to it, so the upper part of the thickness is above 20 amos. Likewise, miksas chach besoch esrim, miksas chach lamala meyesrim. What is the din? Omar Rabo b'movui kosher b'sukkah posel. In the movui, that is a situation we can accept, and the movui will be mutter to carry in, and not so in the case of the sukkah. The schach in such a setup will not be acceptable. My shna b'movui de kosher. Well, why by the movui do we say it's okay? Well, the amrinon kolosh, because in your mind's eye we say kolosh. Kolosh means reduce. In other words, we discount in your mind's eye the thickness of the korah above 20. And you're left with then, in your mind's eye, a thin korah. Well, sukkanami lemo kolosh, so why can't you apply the same logic with regard to the schach and say, well, let's just not view let us view the tzach above the 20 amah mark as if it's not there. Someone says, no. By sukkah, we can't say that. Ikalshus, if you eliminate the tzach that's above 20, havyolo chamsmuva mitzilsa, then the light level, the luminance level within the sukkah will be unacceptable, because one of the rules of sukkah is that there should be more shade than sunlight. But if you remove the thickness of the schach in your mind's eye above the 20 amos, so you'll have more sun than shade. You'll have a thin schach covering, allowing for too much sunlight to enter. And that's not kosher by a sukkah. Oh, question. Hochanami. Well, here too, by the Mavui, Ikalshus, if you thin out the Korah, then you're making it a very lightweight Korah. Havyul occur in the Telus Beruach. It then becomes a Korah that could be blown away by a common wind, and that kind of Korah is not kosher. And yet, you're saying by the Mavui it's okay. Ela al korchoch. So therefore you're going to have to say that, you know, if you want to say kalshis, you're going to have to say in your mind's eye then, na'asu kishpudim shel mateches, that we're going to be viewing the korom as shpudim, are skewers made of mateches of metal, giving them the required weight. Well, hochanami al korchoch, so therefore by the same token, the same, we'll call logical acrobatics, say, nasis silsa meruba mechamsa. In other words, we're willing to view the korah as something that it is not. So view the schach as something that it is not. View the schach as if there is more shade than sun. So our question very simply is, why the distinction? Why by Mavui you're saying kosher and by the sukkah you're saying it's pasul? Omar Rava. Now we're getting to answers. Omar Rava mi Parzakia. Parzakia is the name of his town. Rava from Parzakia says, sukkah de liyochid hi lo midkar. Mavui de la rabbi midkiria dodi. Here was a totally new approach. With regard to the sukkah, first of all, the translation is the sukkah is not a public structure. It's made for the private individual. We fear that the lower half of the schach, actually the kosher part, might become eroded. And as a result of the sukkah being a private entity, lo midkar, he won't remember, he won't pay attention to the eroded tzach. And if the lower half gets eroded and he doesn't fix it, so he won't remember to fix it, he's then sitting in a sukkah, the balance of whose tzach is above 20 amos, and that's not kosher. That's why by the sukkah we're going to tell you that the mikzah tzach besoch esrim, mikzah tzach l'masrim, is puzzle. The fear here, again, the emphasis on the lower half getting eroded. Mavui de la rabim, the Mavui, which is a public entity, it's the public that lives in the Mavui. If the Korah, the lower half of the Korah, gets eroded, min kri adodi, someone is going to remember and fix it. And therefore, we are not risking ourselves by having a Mavui whose Korah is partially within and partially above 20. Ravina Omar, sukkah do iraisa achmir rabbonon. Sukkah, which is a din do iraisa, so the rabbonon are machmir and will not allow you to have a sukkah with schach partially above 20 amos. Mavui de rabbonon, mavui which is rabbinic, lo achmiru be rabbonon. So the rabbonon did not impose additional stringencies and therefore say that if your korah is partially within 20 amos, even though partially above, we allow that because it's only rabbinic. At this point, we embark on Lashon number 2, the opposite Lashon, the opposite version. Rav Ado bar Masona Masni Lahosh Maitzo de Rabo Ibcha. Rav Ado presents Rabo in an opposite fashion. Omar Rabo, the Movui Posel Besukhik Shera, in the case of a Movui with the partial, the Korah partially above 20 Amos, partially within, that's not acceptable. With regard to the Sukh, it's okay with the Schach partially above 20 Amos, partially within. My Shno Sukhik Dikshera de Omri Kolush, why by Sukhik do you say it's okay? Well, it's because we say that the Schach that's above 20 Amos, the, we'll call it the unfit part of the schach, kolush is if it's not there. It's as if it, in your mind's eye, view it as if it's not there. But mavui nami lemo kolush. So why by the mavui don't you say the same thing? And the part of the korah that's above 20 amos, just view it in your mind's eye as if it's not there. The Gemara says, well, ikalshis, if you do that with the korah, Havilah Kura Nitels Beruach, it will be a type of korah that can be blown away by a common wind, and that would be an unacceptable type of korah. Well, Hochanami, if that's the reason you reject the korah partially within, partially above, well, ikalshis Hochanami by the sukkah, ikalshis Avilah Chansimu Vesilsa. If you view the part of the schach above 20 as if it's not there, then you're creating a sukkah situation of more sun than shade, and that's not good. El al korchach. So, therefore, you are going to have to say, Nasitzus Meruba Mechamsa. By sukkah, you're saying it's kosher. Well, what enables you to say it's kosher? Because you're willing to say in your mind that the tzel, the shade, is more than the sun. Well, Hochanami, you use the same imagination and say, Al Korchuch Nasu Kishpudim Shamateches, that thinned out beam is viewed in your mind's eye as metal skewers, metal poles that have weight and won't be blown away by the wind. So at this point, what is the difference? Why does Rabba say by the Movui it's puzzle and the Sukh it's kosher? Omar Rava mi Parzakya. And here again you have the answers. Here we simply use the inverted triangles to keep the same format of the Rabo inverted house, but they represent answers. Rabo mi Parzakya says, Sukkah de liyochid hi, the sukkah which is designed for the private person, he knows he's alone. Romi anafshi mitkar, he's going to take it upon himself to be extra careful and will remember if any erosion takes place on the lower part of the schach, he will immediately repair it, put rectify the situation. Movui de l'rabimi, the movui which is made for the public, samchi adodi, here is a psychological insight to the masses. They rely on one another, v'lo midkri, and no one individual is going to remember. Everyone is saying, oh, the next guy's going to pay attention, the next guy will care about it. The Amri Inchi, there is a common saying, kidra debe shutfi, the pot that's owned jointly by partners, lo chamimo v'lo karir, it's never hot and it's never cold. In simple terms, everyone is always hoping that someone else is going to take care of it. And so therefore, by the Mavui, if the lower part of the Korah gets eroded, no one individual is going to remember to care for it, to take note of it, always relying on someone else. Ravina Omar, Sukkah Doiraisa Lo Boi Chizuk. Sukkah, which is a Torah-level halacha, is serious enough on its own that it doesn't require any, let's say, rabbinic intervention. And therefore, as long as part of the schach is within 20, the sukkah is kosher. Movui, the rabbonon, boi chizuk. Movui, which is rabbinic in nature, requires strengthening. And in order to create a sense of significance and importance to a rabbinic law, so we impose a stringency and not allow the Korah, which is partially above 20 Amos. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara wants to know what is the din. We mentioned the case of partial, both with regard to the Mavui and the Sukkah. So we have approach number one, Rabo bar Rav Ula Omar ze veze posel. Both cases, Mavui and Sukkah, will be unacceptable. Rovo Omar ze veze kosher. And an explanation follows. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Halal Sukkah Tnan, Halal Mavui Tnan. The statistics, the 20 Amor statistic, in both Sukkah and Mavui, are a reference to the Halal, the airspace, the space dimension. In other words, the space shall not exceed 20 amos. So as long as you have the korah or the schach partially within the 20 amos, so the space is less than 20 amos, and therefore, in both cases, it will be kosher. It's not like we thought that the emphasis is on the schach per se, or the beam per se, but rather the emphasis is on the space. And whenever you have either the beam or the schach partially within 20 amos, so the space is less than 20 amos. And that's why in both cases it's kosher. Omar le Rav Papa le Rava Tanya de Mesaye Aloch. Rav Papa tells us that we have a Tanaic source that supports Rava. The source says, Movui shu gavoa me esrim amo, Yoser mi pischo shel hechal, yema eight. The hechal gufo chaloloi esrim. The source tells us that a movui whose entranceway is more than 20 amos, which is more than the entrance way to the hechal, so such a movui, the beam must be lowered. The hechal itself, the 20 amo statistic that appears by the hechal, is a reference to the space, the height of the chalal of the entranceway. So that we see that the 20 amo is a measure of the airspace. Eisve Rav Simi bar Rav Ashi l'Rav Papa. Ketzad hu oise. We have a Tanaic source that is presented as a question. What is it? What should he do if he has a mavui more than 20 amos? Meniach koro misvas esrim ulamato. From this source, if we just translate it momentarily, you have a too tall mavui entranceway, so then take the korah and make sure it is the korah with all of its thickness is within 20 amos. The entire korah must be within 20 amos. So that shows us that the 20 amos statistic is not a space, an airspace statistic, but it's a statistic that tells me that the korah must be entirely within the 20 amos. How much airspace is there? Well, it depends on how thick that korah is, but it's not. We're not allowing you an airspace of 20 amos here. The Gemara responds, Emo ulemala, which would mean that when you read this source, you would be reading Meniach Korah Misvas Esrim Ulamala, which means place the Korah at a point at the edge of 20 amos and above. The Gemara asks, Vahalamata Kotoni? But it says in this source, Ulamata. Doesn't that mean that the beam starts at the 20 amo mark and below? No, the Gemara says. Not so. Ha'komash malon, the reference to ulamato in this source tells me the following. The lamato kilamalo. The term lamato is a reference to the minimum size of a mavui entranceway. That's a case where the beam is located very low down. How low? Well, we speak about 10 tfochim. What are we to learn from this source? The following. Ma lemalo chalolo esrim, just like above, when we talk about the maximum height, it's a 20 amo measure for space. Af lemato, so too when you're dealing with the minimum height of a mavui entrance, chalolo asora.
the 10 tvachim is a reference to the space. That means that the korah, when you want to place it low down, the bottom edge of the korah is cannot be less than 10 tvachim from the ground. So that on the low end, so to speak, the low measure, the bottom of the korah leaves you with an airspace of 10 tvachim. On the high level, the bottom of the korah is positioned in such a way that the space under it shall not exceed 20 amos. But we are defending Rav Papa's approach that was based on, Rav Papa was supporting Rava, that the statistics here, let's focus on the 20, is in fact a space statistic. We begin a new sukkah here, and this will keep us occupied for quite a while of Gemara. On the side, we have a title called the Nosei Klali, a general topic heading, Amos Bas Hamisha V'Shisha Tvachim. We'll be referring to the Amo measure sometimes in terms of 6 Tvachim, sometimes in terms of Tefach is a hand breadth, and sometimes measured in terms of 5 hand breadths. The Nosei, the topic heading, Shiurei Amo, we'll talk about the Amo as a means of measuring Sukkah, Kilayim, and Mavui. So the Amo in these topics, Lefi Rav Nachman, Shnuyim L'chumra. According to Rav Nachman, the result of the measuring must be resulting in stringency. This is a bit abstract, and it will remain so until we get into the actual examples. We have a structural note. Let us pay attention to the diamond. We have on the side under the Mivneh heading, the diamond represents Shnei Lishonos B'Rav Nachman, 2 versions of Rav Nachman. The number 1 version is Abaye's version of Rav Nachman, and second line from the bottom, you'll notice our second diamond, Rava's version of Rav Nachman. Triangles will be used, and they're explained under the Mivneh, Hadugmois Shel HaChumros, B'movui, Sukkah, and Kilayim. Each triangle will introduce one of these topics, and within each topic we are going to try to find how the measure that we suggest will result in a stringency. Just another, overview or bird's eye picture of the sukkah. According to Abaye, sukkah and mavui will be measured in terms of 5 tefach amos, and in the case of kilayim, in terms of a 6 tefach amo. Rava, on the other hand, says all the measurings are in terms of 6 tefach amos. However, in the case of kilayim, it's a different type of tefach that will be suggested. Amir Tzashem, all of this will become much clearer as we get into the actual examples. But what we wanted to do is to lay out the sugya beforehand so that when we get into the details, we won't lose sight of the overall structure. So just once again, the diamonds set up the overall structure, 2 versions of Rav Nachman. Within each presentation, we'll be looking at the way we measure 3 examples, Sukkah, Kilayim, and Mavui. The overall theme is that the measurings that we suggest in each case should result in a stringency. Let's see how this operates by getting into the Gemara. Omar Abai Mishmei Rav Nachman. Amas Sukkah v'Amas Mavui. The Amo that's used in measuring Sukkah and measuring Mavui, be'Amo Bas Hamisha. The Amo there is an Amo made of 5 hand breadths. 5 tvachim. Amas kilayim, the amo
in the sugya of kilayim. Kilayim is the prohibition of planting other vegetation in the vicinity of a vineyard. So regarding the measurements, as applying to kilayim, the amo bas shisha. The amo there will be a 6 tefach amo, which will result in a stringency. Amas, now we go over the cases. Amas movui, the amo bas hamisha. In the case of the movui, it's interesting how the Gemara, when it presented the initial 3 cases, it spoke first about sukkah, then about movui, but now in presenting the examples, the Gemara opens up with the movui. So amas movui ba'amo bas hamisha. When we speak about the movui measurements, it's measured in amos that are 5 tefach amos. Lemai hilchasa, regarding what measure, what area of measure do we say this? Does Rav Nachman say this that would then result in a chumrah? Answer: Ligovo ula pirtsas movui. And we will explain. We have seen that the maximum height of a movui to be kosher is 20 amos. Now, if we measure the 20 amos in terms of the short amos, the 5 tefach amos as opposed to a 6 tefach amo, I am presenting a stringency. If we just multiply the numbers for a minute, 20 amos using a 5 tefach standard, 20 times 5, be 100 tefachim. We are saying then that your movui will be kosher as long as it doesn't, the beam is not placed at a height of more than 100 tefachim. If I would have said that the movui is measured in 6 tefach amos, so then I would do 20 amos, 20 times 6, that's 120 tefachim. Then I would be giving you a leniency. I would be saying that the korah can be placed as high as 120 tefachim from the ground. But by saying amo bas chamisha, I'm telling you that your mavui will not be kosher if the korah is placed at a height of more than a mere 100 tefachim from the ground. So that's a stringency. I'm allowing you only up to 100 and not any more. Pirtzas mavui. Pirtza is a breach. We hold that a breach in the wall of a movui of more than 10 amos will ruin the movui. So if you have an alleyway that's surrounded by, it has a wall around it with an entranceway, and if there's a breach in that wall of more than 10 tefachim, of more than 10 amos, that is, it will ruin the mavui. How much of a breach presents a problem? Well, we say 10 amos. How do you measure that? Well, we're going to measure it in a 5 tefach amo. But once again, that's giving you less room for ruination. There's a picture that might be of assistance at the bottom of page 4. You see a picture 26. That's a movui shenifrats mitzido. It's an example of a movui that has a breach on its side. So we're talking about that breach, and you see the 10 with the arrows. That's the 10 amo statistic. But we're allowing a breach up till 10 amos, 10 times 5, 50 tefachim, and not an amo measured in terms of 6 tefachim, which would have allowed up till 60 tefachim and still be kosher. So, 2 examples within movui, amo bas chamisha, resulting in a stringency. By measuring in terms of 5 tefachim amos, we are limiting how far we will go in allowing, in making the mowli, in allowing the mowli to be considered kosher. The Gemara asks, "Va'ika meshech mowli ba'arba amos de lekula." If you are going to say that the amol is measured in the short amol fashion, in the five tefach fashion, you're going to run into a leniency. And if the whole point here of Rav Nachman is to present statistics that result in stringency, this will be a problem. There is an approach that says that the minimum depth of a mavoi, meaning from street, from entrance point till back wall of mavoi, in order for it to be mutter with a korah or a lechi, it has to have a depth of 4 amos. But if you say that the 4 amos can be measured using the short type amos, so I'm giving you a leniency. I'm saying that the mavoi will be kosher even if it's this 4 amos, 4 times 5, 20 tefachim of depth, instead of insisting on 4 times 6 will be 24 tefachim of depth. So is this not a leniency? Two answers. Number one, Kemandi Omar, that means Rav Nachman will hold like another opinion regarding to minimum depth of a mavoi, ba'arba tefachim. There's a machlokis on this topic between Abaye and Rav Yosef. And Rav Nachman will accept the opinion that says minimum mavoi depth from street entrance to back wall is 4 tefachim. In other words, it's a statistic that's not measured in terms of amos. It's not measured in terms of amos to begin with. Therefore, the issue of meshech mavoi does not pose a problem for Rav Nachman's mavoi amo measuring principle. It's a tefach statistic. You could say, alternatively, that the meshech mavui is measured in terms of 4 amos, according to Rav Nachman. So what did Rav Nachman mean when he said the amas mavui ba'amas bas chamisha, the roiv amos komar? That means most of the amo measuring of a mavui will result in a Chumrah when you use the small amo. Once again, most of the mavui measurements when using the small amo will result in a chumrah. There is an example of one case. The meshech mavui dimension using the small amo will be, in fact, a leniency, but that doesn't upset Rav Nachman's presentation because his point was to say that most, not all, but rove, most of the amo measurings of a mavoi when using the small amo will result in a chumrah. Next example. Amas sukkah ba'amo bas chamisha. The sukkah is to be measured using an amo of 5 tefachim. And if you do so, you will see that you end up with a stringency. Lamai hilchasa, well, regarding what do you find this stringency? Answer, legova uledoifen akuma. With regard to these two halachas, height of sukkah, maximum height is 20 amos, and like we said before, it's a maximum height of 20 times 5, meaning will allow you only 100 tefachim of height, and not 20 times 6, not 120 tefachim of height. So that's a stringency. We're limiting how much height you can have in your sukkah and still be kosher. Doifen akuma, this is another sukkah-related halacha, and since we're not learning sukkah, we're not going to get too preoccupied with this, but with the aid of the Pirush Chai, so we can immediately benefit from the picture and appreciate the case of Dofen Akuma by looking at page 3, illustration 14. There is what's illustrated is a house whose ceiling caved in the middle, and you put schach over the opening and intend to use that house as a sukkah, the Dofen Akuma Halacha says that if the roof that's marked, the gap between the schach and the wall, which is featured by the aleph on that diagram, so it's a roof, by the way, roof material is not kosher for a sukkah. But there is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai that says that if the space between the schach and the wall of the house is less than 4 amos, then it's as if the wall curves in, akuma means bends over, and the is attached to the schach. As we're not going to elaborate too much on that, but what we want to focus on is that the 4 amos measured in that picture, that aleph diagram of roof material from wall till edge of schach, that 4 amos is in terms of 5 tefach amos. So we're telling you that that gap cannot be more than 4 times 5, 4 amos, each amo 5 tvachim, meaning 20 tvachim, and not up till 24 tvachim. That would have been a greater leniency, allowing you for more puzzle roof material between the schach and the wall. So regarding gova and dofen akuma, by measuring the amos in those two halachos in terms of 5 tefach amos, we result in a stringency. The Gemara asks, "Va'ika meshach sukkah ba'arba amos de lekula." Ah, but regarding minimum area of sukkah, meshach sukkah is the area, the floor space of a sukkah. When you measure its length and width, the minimum size of a sukkah must be 4 amos. And by measuring it in the shorter amo, you're giving me a leniency. You're saying 4 amos, 4 times 5, that if the sukkah area is 20 by 20 tefachim, it's kosher. Had you said 6 tefach amos, you'd say 6 times, that's 4 amos times 6 tefachim, it would have to have a minimum of 24. That would have been a stringency. So are you not showing me, by saying that the sukkah amo is 5 tefach, in the case of meshech sukkah, you are giving me a leniency. The sanya, here is the background to the 4 amo number for meshech sukkah. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Rebbe says, I hold kol sukkah she'en bo 4 amos al 4 amos, psul, any sukkah that's lacking 4 by 4 amos in size is unfit. So, once again, by measuring the 4 by 4 amos in 5 tefach terms, you're giving me a leniency. You're saying that if the sukkah has only 20 by 20 tefachim of floor space, it's okay, and not requiring me to have more, 24 by 24. The Gemara answers, as far as Rav Nachman, who is the author of this section, is concerned, Kirabonan. Rav Nachman's opinion of sukkah area is like the Rabbonan and not like Rebbe. The Amri, the Rabbonan hold the afilu enu machzekes ala roshe verubo v'shulchono. A sukkah is considered kosher as long as it holds your head and most of your body and your table, which is not an amo statistic. Being that it's not presented here in amo terms, so Rav Nachman's original rule stands, that when it comes to amo measurements of sukkah, they are measured in terms of 5, because that will yield a stringency. As far as area is concerned, that's not measured in amo terms. V'boy seimaluilim rebihi. You can say that, in general, that Rav Nachman subscribes to Rebbe. And as far as his point concerning amo of sukkah being measured in 5 tefach terms, leading to a stringency, that is true, the roiv amos kamar. That's true with regard to the most of the amo measurements pertaining to a sukkah. Most of the time, when you measure in 5 tefach terms, you will have a stringency that results. We go to the third topic, third example. Amas kilayim ba'amo bas shisha. And here, to draw your attention to the change, we dashed underline bas shisha. When it comes to a halachas of kilayim, of vineyards, and the prohibition of planting other vegetation in a vineyard, we will measure in, when we see amo referred to, we will measure it in the larger amo form, in the six tefach type amo. And that will result in a stringency. Lamai hilchasa. Well, practically speaking, regarding what halachas will the stringency result? 2 points. One, lekrachas akerim. Two, limchol akerim. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that gives us all of the background to these halachas. And in addition to the text of the Gemara, we also have diagrams that are very helpful. We are looking at page 3 in the Pirush Chai, the second, the lower half of the page. You notice what appears to be a pictures of vineyards. Diagram 15 features what we saw just now, Karachas HaKerem. And diagram 17 refers to Mechol HaKerem. So the topic of Karachas HaKerem is, word Kereach or Karachas is a reference to a bald spot. A person who was bald is called a Kereach. So we're talking about an unplanted, uncultivated area in the middle of a vineyard. Mechol is an expression referring to something going saviv, around. So in diagram 17, we're going to be speaking about a vineyard and a wall that surrounds it, and the relevant statistics. The issue that comes up here is, can I plant other things, other zroim, in the vacant areas? Well, it all depends on how much space is vacant. Let us take a look at the source and explain more as we go along. Disnan, Karachas HaKerem, the bald spot, the barren spot in the kerem that would allow me to plant something else in the middle. Beishamai Omrim Esrim V'Arba Amos. Would have to measure 24 amos of uncultivated area. Beishil Omrim Sheish Esrei Amos. Umechol HaKerem Beishamai Omrim Sheish Esrei Amos. Ubeisilul Omrim Shteim Esrei Amos. There is a machlokis you can see here, Beishamai Beisilul, each time Beisilul requiring less amount. Eizohi Korachas HaKerem, and to highlight the where the details are featured, so you can see that we've used the double underline here, and two lines later, Veizim Mechol HaKerem. Eizohi Korachas HaKerem, what is the example of Korachas HaKerem? Kerem Shechorav Emtsioso, a vineyard whose middle is Chorav. Chorav is literally destroyed. In this case, we can say it's barren, it's uncultivated. Ein Shom Sheish Esrei Amos, if that area does not measure 16 Amos across, Lo Yavi Zera L'Sham, then you cannot bring any other kinds of plants to that area. Even if you put it smack in the middle, it's still too close to the kerem for us allowing it. Hoyu Shom Sheish Esrei Amo, if the area measures 16 amos across, then we say the following. Noisei Loi Kidei Avodosoi, that expression Kidei Avodoso is a reference to four amos adjacent to the vines themselves. The four amos adjacent to the vines themselves you're not going to cultivate, because that's the area that you bring your oxen with their cart to travel around, and that requires four amos. That's called Kidei Avodas HaKerem. So of the 16 amos we just mentioned, four amos are deducted for that. Now, that four amos of Kidei Avodas HaKerem applies to both sides. So it's four amos off one side and four amos off the other side. that leaves you, because we mentioned 16 amos, that leaves you with a total of 8 amos in the middle. Vizorea es hamosar, and that which is left over after you reduced the kedei avodas hakerem, the mosar that's left, you can plant. It's considered a significant enough area that it's not botel to the kerem. It's a you have a total of 8 amos in the middle that would divide into 4 amos vis-a-vis one half and 4 amos the other half. A 4 amo area is not going to be botel, won't be void to the nearest point in the kerem after you left the avodas hakerem. We might be saying a little too much more than we have to say, but this information is found in Rashi, who gives all of these explanations. What we really have to focus on is the fact that we're measuring this in terms of amos. Let's continue in the source, and then we'll say the main point. The source continues, V'ezu mechol hakerem, what is that? Bein kerem legoder, it's the area between the wall and the vineyard. Ein sham shemas reamo, that's of course within Beis Hillel. If you don't have 12 amos, then lo yovi zera lasham. You cannot plant anything else there. And the reasoning behind this is that between the wall, right next to the wall for a distance of 4 amos, you're not going to want to plant anything anyway. It's not good for walls to have plants planted so close. Adjacent to the vines that are growing within the walled area, we mentioned just before that you have to leave 4 amos for Kedei Avodas HaKerem, an area you're not going to plant anyway because you're going to draw your cart with the oxen over that. So we've accounted for 8 amos already of areas you're not going to plant. How much must be left? So we say there must be left 4 amos. If less than 4 amos is left, it will be botel to the kerem. But if you have 4 amos left, that is significant, and it's an area you will be allowed to plant. So that's the case of Mechol HaKerem. Let's just read the last line again of the source. Hoyu Shom Shtei Mesrei Amo. If there remains 12 amos between the wall and the vineyard, the vines, so no singo Kedei Avodoso Vezores Hashar. You leave the Kedei Avodoso area and plant the rest. Now that's a bit abbreviated, as we said, because in addition to the Kedei Avodoso, which measures 4 amos, you're also going to be leaving 4 amos right next to the wall as well, uncultivated, leaving you with a balance of 4 amos in the middle, so to speak, between the wall and the vineyard that you will be able to plant. Now, we are requiring these gaps of, in the case of Korach HaSekerem, 16 amos, according to Beis Hillel, in the case of Mechol HaKerem, 12 amos. How are we measuring this? These distances that are necessary to be barren before we can talk about planting? They're measured in terms of amos, aren't they? Now, we're going to require the large amos, the 6 tefach amos in these cases. By requiring the larger amos, I am, in fact, imposing a stringency upon you. In other words, let's take the last example, the Mechol HaKerem. Between the wall and the vines, there must be 12 amos. 12 times what? 12 times 6. That translates into 72 tefachim. I'm requiring, before I allow you to plant anything, there has to be an uncultivated area before you can move into the picture, so to speak. There must be 72 tefachim uncultivated. That's a stringency, as opposed to having measured that in 5 tefach amos. If you would have said that, I would have said 12 times 5, which is a mere 60 tefachim, 6-0. 72 is a greater amount of barrenness that we require before we allow you to plant anything. That is a stringency. And how do we come to that? We're being a bit repetitive. We come to that by saying we require for the kilayim measurement a 6 tefach amo. The Gemara asks, but within kilayim, if you're insisting on a 6 tefach amo, there is a leniency that could result. V'o ikah,
Is there not the case of Ritzufin ba'arba amos de lakula? This is a new concept, Ritzufin ba'arba amos. Let us continue this reading in the Gemara to appreciate what this is. Disnan, kerem hanotua al pochos me'arba amos. This is a vineyard planted in rows, row after row of vines. If the rows are, each row is within four amos of the next row, Rabbi Shimon Oimer Eino Kerem. Rabbi Shimon says then it's not treated as a vineyard. It doesn't have the stringencies of a vineyard. That would mean that in such a case we will end up looking at that whole area as individual vines. The halacha concerning how much distance you must leave between a plant that you want to plant near a vine, that amount is much less than the amount of distance required when you're dealing with a vineyard. So according to Reb Shimon, if you have rows and rows of vines planted within four amos, then it's not a kerem, which means you're allowed to plant other things over there, which otherwise you wouldn't have been allowed. The chachomim omrim kerem v'rom esayim tzayim kilu enom. Let's dismiss the chachomim first, initially, because we want to focus on the question. Going back to Rav Shimon, he says, if the rows are within four amos, well, by measuring the amos in six tefach terms, I am telling you that even if the rows are as far away from one another as 24 tefachim, it won't have, that area won't have a stringency of a kerem. So by measuring this Ritzufin Barba Amos in six tefach terms, I am giving you a leniency. I am telling you that if the rows are, even if they're up till 24 amos apart, 24 tefachim that is, 24 tefachim apart, that's 4 times 6, it's still not going to have kerem stringencies. Had I measured the din of Ritzufim in 5 tefach amos, that would have been a stringency. That would have said that only if the rows are within 20 tefachim of one another, it will have a kerem stringency. But if it were 21 tefachim from one another, then it will have the kerem stringency. We already saw before the kerem stringency we saw above is in terms of 4 amos and more of distance that's required before you can plant other things there. So if you, according to Rav Shimon, measuring Ritzufin Barba Amos using the 6 tefach standard, you are giving me a leniency. The Gemara answers, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, to Rabbonon. Rav Nachman holds like the Rabbonon, the Amri Havi Kerem. We didn't explain the Rabbonon, but we go back to the source. In the source, the Chachomim said, if you have this well densely planted vineyard, meaning the rows are close to one another, as far as the Chachomim are concerned, that does not detract from its Kerem status. And we simply view the inner rows, the rows that are densely planted, they're within four amos of one another as if they're not there. So in your mind's eye, it still is a vineyard of rows planted with gaps of four amos. That there are physically other vines growing between. We view them as if they're not there. And Rav Nachman buys into the Rabbanan, which basically is telling them that under all circumstances, whether it's densely planted or normally planted, it still has a kerem status. So the issue of measuring, amo measuring here with regard to Ritzufim, is of no concern. The Iboya Seimo, the Oilom Rabbi Shimon, I can tell you alternatively, like we've been doing all the two previous examples is the third time we're saying that Rav Nachman really can hold by Rav Shimon. V'roiv amos kaman Rav Nachman's din of measuring it in this way to result in a chumrah is true with regard to rove of the amo measurements of a vineyard. That in rove kilayim measurements, by measuring in terms of six tefach amos, you will result in a stringency. The exception being the case of Ritzufin, being that Rav Nachman will hold like Rav Shimon. The Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman, our second diamond, second version of Rav Nachman, this time presented by Rava Omar, Kol Amos, the Amo, Bas, Shisha, all the Amo measurements, Mavui, Sukkah, and Kilayim, will be termed in terms of six Tefach Amos. And there is an effort to emphasize stringency. And how will we come to that? Ela halolu shochakos v'alolu atsevos. In the case of kilayim, they will be amos shochakos. Shochakos, or sochakos comes from the word laughter. When a person laughs, so his mouth expands. So that the tfachim they're not tight tfachim, but rather broad tfachim. There is an illustration that might be of help. If you look on page 3 in your Pirush Chai, figure 18 shows you a tefach with the fingers not so tightly pressed one against the other. That would be the tefach sochek, and the tefach that's with the fingers tight together forming the tefach, forming the hand breath with tight fingers, that's otsev. Otsev is literally means sad, but it's we could say where someone is frowning or his lips come together, clenched, shut. So those are tight tefachim. So when you measure your kilayim dinim that we had above using the broad tefach, so you are requiring greater space, greater barren area before you can plant. That is a chumrah. In the case of the sukkah and the mavui, when the issue of too much height would be a concern, we are measuring them in terms of the reduced size hand breath, also leading to a stringency in both cases of sukkah and mavui. In other words, allowing for less height and still be acceptable. Meisvei. We raise a question from a Tanaic source. This source continues till Dalet Amud Aleph, and at the top line of Dalet Amud Aleph, we'll see that this source will be okay with regard to Rava, but will present a problem for Abaye. So let's see the question. Meisvei. Kol Amos She'omru Chachamim. Seems like a very broad statement here. All Amos that the Chachamim said, Ba'amo Bas Shisha, are measured in terms of six Tefach Amos. Ubilvad Shelo Yu Mechuvanos. Provided they are not all the same. We'll see the Rashi at the top of Dal Manav says, Kilimafor Shvi Ozil. So as will be explained, Shu Amos Kilayim Sochakos Vishalomovu Visuka Atsevos. But as we said, that all Amos in terms of six Tefach Amos, but they're not all the same. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo Larova. This comment of the source that says Uvad Shelo Yu Mechuvanos makes sense according to Rava. Some are broad hand breaths and some are tight hand breaths, as we explained. But according to Abaye, this source is very difficult. According to Abaye, who said that only in the case of Kilayim do you measure in terms of six Tvachim, what is he going to make of this source that says all Amos are in terms of six Tvachim? Omar lo chabaye, emo amas kilayim ve'amo bas shisha. Abai says, the way you understand this source is all the amos of kilayim are in terms of amo bas shisha, six tefach amos. The Gemara asks, from the fact that the Seifa reads as follows, the Seifa of this source that we started at the bottom of Gimel Amid Beis of Kol Amos Shamru Chachamim, the Seifa says, Rav Shimon Leomer, Kol Amos Shamru Chachamim B'Kilayim, B'Amo Ba'Shisha, U'Bilvad Shilo Yu Mitzumtzamos, provided they're not tight. So, it is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel who focuses on Kilayim. Michlal de Tana Kamo, Kol Amos Komar. It must be then that the Tana Kamo, the first opinion that we already read, he is in fact broad range, referring to all Amo measurements, meaning not just Kilayim, but the others as well are in terms of six Tefach Amos, unlike Abaye. Omar loch Abaye. Abaye will answer you. Is there not Rav Shimon Gamliel, who is a famous, an outstanding Tana, Tanaic authority that holds like me, that only by Kilayim do we measure in terms of an Amo Bas Shisha, a six Tefach Amo, but the other Amos will be in terms of five? Ano di Amri, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I hold like him. We continue in the Gemara, analyzing the Tanoim in light of the Amoroim, Abaye and Rava. La Abaye vaday Tanoihi. According to Abaye, he can work out only according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. You can't fit Abaye into the Tanakama, who Tanakama said all Amos. Abaye didn't say all Amos in terms of six. He said only Kilayim. So as far as Abaye is concerned, Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tana Kama are vadai tanoi, means they're definitely arguing with one another. Le Rava mi lemo tanoihi, according to Rava, is it necessary for us to say that there's a machlokis tanoim? Maybe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is coming to explain the Tana Kama. Rashi explains how this can work out. If we look at Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, L'rova milema tanoihi, mi amrinan, notice the Rashi structure, he says, do you say the following? And we call that Aleph. A few lines later, you notice we squiggle line in the Rashi, oy dilma, and we call that Beis. And what we're going to be interested in seeing is the particularly the Beis. So let's read the Rashi. Mi amrinon, do we say Rav Shimon Gamliel polig ole, that Rav Shimon Gamliel comes to argue with the Tana Kama lemeimart and say amas kilayim b'chamas bas shisha, avosha amas kigon sukkin movui b'amo bas chamisha, but the other amo measurements, like by sukkin movui in terms of five tefach amos, oh dilma, or maybe perush kama first Rav Shimon Gamliel lemusay de rabbonon, maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to explain the rabbonon di amri. The Rabbanan said that all Amos are in terms of six Tefach Amos. However, they said that they shouldn't be exact. They shouldn't all be the same. By saying that they shouldn't be all the same, you're saying that some are broad hand breadths and some are tight hand breadths Amo measurements. Velo pirshu ezemehem sochakos ezemehatsevus. The Rabbanan didn't explain which topic gets the broad tefach and which topics get the tight tefachs. The also ihu, and comes along Shimon Gamliel lifrushi to explain the Tanakamo de anoch the kilayim amos leve sochakos. They will have the broad hand breadths making up the six tefachim. Amos, ke dekotoni, as Rav Shimon Gamliel said, ubuvad shelo yu mitzumtzamos. Rav Shimon Gamliel focused on kilayim, and he said there that they should not be mitzumtzamos, they shouldn't be tight, they should be sochakos.
Ulahachi id kil kilayim. That's the only reason Rav Shlomo Eliyahu mentioned kilayim. Velolim ute shara amos liyos benos chamisha. He wasn't mentioning kilayim to the exclusion of other amos, the sukkah and bovui, to be five tefach amos. Elimutinu, just to exclude them, the sukkah and mavui, the lolevu sochakos, that sukkah and mavui should not be the sochakos tefach. They should have the tight tefach in comprising their amos, their six tefach amos. Let's now read this in the Gemara. The answer. Omar loch Rava. Rava will tell you, Rav Shlomo Eliyahu, ha asash minan. Rav Shlomo Eliyahu is not coming to argue with the Rabbanan, but he too agrees that all amos, mavui, sukkah, and kilayim are six tefach amos. And Rav Shlomo Eliyahu is coming to tell me is that amos, kilayim, lo yitzam seim. That the amo making up the kilayim statistic should not be the tight hand breaths. The Gemara asks, well, v'leimo amas kilayim lo yitzam seim. Rav Shlomo Eliyahu could have simply said, amas kilayim seim, b'ama bashisha lemutei mai. Notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Align this with the arrow above. At that point, Rav Shlomo Eliyahu has said that all amas, the chomim said, or in kilayim, were ama bas shisha. What did he have to add that expression of amo bas shisha? He just could have, he could have said that kol amos shomru chachom b'kilayim lo yitzam tzeim. What is he adding by these extra words? Ba'amo bas shisha lim ute mai. What is that coming to exclude? Lav lim ute amas sukkah vi amas mavui. Is it not coming to say that only in kilayim do you measure in terms of six tefach amos, and not in the case of sukkah and mavui? There you will measure in terms of five tefach amos. Lo, that's not what Reb Shimon was trying to do. Limute, he was coming to exclude amo yesoid the amo sovev. There is an area of Torah where an amo bas hamisha figures. It has to do with the mizbeach of the Beis Hamikdash. In that case, in fact, a five tefach amo appears. And that's what Rav Shlomo Eliyahu was excluding when he said that in Kilayim we measure with six tefach amos, as opposed to the Mizbeach, where part of the Mizbeach dimensions are measured in terms of five tefach amos. And the Gemara specifies in its answer, let's read this again, lo, it says, we should point out that this is also the beginning of a long answer, because in this long answer, there will be the background to the to this point. So let's go over this again. There is, we were saying, an area of Torah where an amo bas hamisha, five tefach amo, appears, and that has to do with the amo yesod. The yesod is the bottom, a foundation or frame of the mizbeach. And the sovev is an upper ledge running around the mizbeach. To appreciate these points, so a diagram appears. You can see a little bit of a mizbeach diagram on page 2. And more importantly, on page 4, picture 20. And if you focus on that picture and the caption, you will see all the points that are of relevance. As far as Yesod is concerned, you'll notice the Aleph of the picture. We're looking at a side view of the Mizbeach. That's the foundation. The height of that foundation measures an Amo, and it's five Tvachim of height. There is another note that we want to see. The Dalet in that picture is the Sovev. It's a ledge running around the Mizbeach, and the width of that ledge is five Tvachim. It's an Amo ledge measuring, and the amo measures in terms of 5 tefachim. So that is what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was excluding when he said that in Kilayim we measure in terms of 6 tefach amos, as opposed to the amo yisoid and the amo sovev. Dichtiv, and the Gemara now gives us a pasuk. This is a very long pasuk, and the Gemara then breaks down the pasuk into its component parts. First, let's read the pasuk. V'elu midos hamizbeach v'amos amo v'tefach. V'cheko amo v'amo rochav u'gvula el sfosu sovev zeres ho'echod v'ze gav hamizbeach. We just read an entire pasuk. Before we break down the pasuk, let us look at a Rashi just across from here, a line or two down. B'amos amo amo v'tefach. This pasuk is describing the dimensions of the mizbeach. Be'amos kitanos, bas chamisha. The mizbeach is measured in terms of short amos, 5 tefach amos. Sheyesh be'amo bas vov beinonis, the standard 6 tefach amo, has amo v'tefach me'elu. A standard 6 tefach amo contains an amo and a tefach of these short amos. So if you have a short amo, which we call a 5 tefach amo, you take that, we're calling it an amo, plus one more tefach, and that will give you the standard 6 tefach amo. That's what this phrase, ba'amos, amo, amo v'tefach, means. However, for our purposes, the pasuk is telling you that you measure the mizbeach using 5 tefach amos. And now, if the underlining that you see in the Gemara breaks down the pasuk, cheko amo, that was mentioned in the pasuk, ze yisoid. So an aspect of the yisod, the height aspect of it, is measured in terms of a 5 tefach amo. 1 amo of height was the yisod. It was 5 tefachim of height. The amo rochav ze sovev, that we explained was the ledge running around the mizbeach. We saw that in the diagram. That has a width. That ledge has a width of 1 amo. 5 tefachim is that amo. Ugvula sfosu sovev elu hakronos. The kronos are the corner, literally the horns or the corners. They were blocks positioned at the top of the mizbeach. You can see that in the diagram where the vav appears. They measured also 5, they were a blocks, cubes, 5, 1 amo cubes. The amo was measured in terms of 5 tefachim. V'ze gav ha-mizbeach, ze mizbeach hazov. That's referring to an entirely different mizbeach, the golden mizbeach that was in the hecha, that was used for the offering of the incense. And that mizbeach, the golden mizbeach, was measured in terms of 5 tefach amo. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.